Good morning and welcome again to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. And during my time on the program, we've been trying to go through different aspects of the Mosaic Law, Jesus Christ in the Law, trying to search the scriptures of the Old Testament Law to see the testimony of Jesus Christ and to see the pictures of Jesus laced all throughout the Old Testament, particularly laced throughout the Mosaic Law. And last time we talked about marriage and God's pattern for marriage that is supposed to model the love that Christ has toward his church. And as somewhat of an extension of that, this morning we'd like to look at Jesus Christ as our kinsman redeemer. Christ is our kinsman redeemer. And God set a standard, he set a pattern, even before the Mosaic Law, that if someone died, if a man in Israel, if a Jew died prior to having children, then it was understood that the brother of the man that died would go into his sister-in-law and conceive and have a child, so that man's name would not be extinguished in Israel, so that his seed would carry on. And we see that prior to the Mosaic Law. We've mentioned quite a few different times that many of these things were not necessarily instituted at the Mosaic Law. They were just codified. They were manifest. They were given publicly and written down. But God's moral law has been in effect ever since creation. God's opinion on sodomy, his opinion on adultery, his opinion on all these moral things have not changed. And they didn't begin on Mount Sinai. Instead, they were just written down in a more full way. And this is an example of a practice that occurred before the Mosaic Law. One example that we can think about from Genesis chapter 38 was that Judah had some sons, and one of his sons was very wicked, and the Lord slew him. And then he told his brother, Onan, to go into Ur's wife, Tamar, and then to marry her and to raise up seed. And Onan didn't want to do this, so he didn't do his duty properly, and the Lord killed him for not doing that duty properly. And then you fast forward in that story, and then Judah doesn't give the other brother to Tamar like he should have. Tamar dresses up like a harlot. Judah goes into his daughter-in-law unwittingly, and surprisingly, that's actually the lineage of Phares that Jesus Christ comes through. It's amazing all of the dirty laundry in the lineage of Jesus Christ, and there's not much laundry that's dirtier than Judah going into who he thought was a harlot with Tamar and conceiving through her. So we see this pattern sprinkled throughout the Old Testament and even before the Mosaic Law, but the Lord gives this to Moses, particularly in Deuteronomy chapter 25. There's a pattern for redeeming of land. In addition to the redeeming of the land, we'll see this with Ruth and Boaz. In addition to the redeeming of the land, you couldn't just buy the land. There was also a duty to raise up seed for men in Israel that had died and not having children. So Deuteronomy chapter 25, setting the pattern for the kinsman redeemer. Deuteronomy 25 and in verse 5. If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn that she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. But if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders, and say, my husband's brother refuseth to raise up seed unto his brother, a name in Israel, and he will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of the city shall call him and speak unto him, and if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, then shall the wife's brother come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and actually spit in his face. Now, we're going to see that this is saying that the widow has the right to call the brother on the carpet for not doing this, and she takes off his shoe. We're going to see Boaz, which I think is a great picture of Christ as our representation, right? That Christ does this for Ruth. Ruth doesn't go and perform this transaction. Boaz does it for her as a representative of her. But notice, if the wife did it, though, And he refused to do that. Not only did she take his shoe off, the wife had the right to spit in his face. She had the right to spit in his face and say, "So shall it be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's house, and his name shall be called in Israel the house of him that hath his shoe loosed," which was intended to be a shameful representation that you didn't do your duty. This is a God-commanded responsibility for a brother, and you shirked your duty to do what you should do. And it was intended to be a public shame, not just with your shoe, but the wife even having the right to spit in your face if you didn't do your duty like you were commanded to of the Lord. So that sets the pattern for the kinsman redeemer and the raising up of seed. And then the most beautiful example of this that we have in the Bible is in the book of Ruth, the beautiful story of Ruth and Boaz. And Boaz, as the kinsman redeemer of Ruth and her seed. And I'll do my best to try to go through this in an expedient way. It's difficult because Ruth is one of my favorite books in all the Bible. I went through this a couple years ago at Macedonia. I would encourage you to go to macedonia-pbc.org, search the book of Ruth. And we spent time together at Macedonia in the book of Ruth. And that was one of my favorite studies, one of my favorite series. The book of Ruth and the book of Esther is just such amazing displays of God's providence and the timing and God's will, that his ways and his judgments and his will are so much higher than our ways. His timing is always perfect. God's providence is just amazing. God's providence is amazing. And I love studying these pulse-pounding, dramatic stories of God's providence that encourage us when we are hopeful that God's providence will be displayed in our own life. So I would encourage you to go to our website, go to Macedonia's website and listen to those messages on the book of Ruth. I know I sure enjoyed preaching them. I believe the church enjoyed learning that book together. But I just hate to go through the book of Ruth so quickly. It doesn't seem like I do it justice. So this beautiful story of the kinsman redeemer from the book of Ruth, we do have a more extended series on that if you would like to check those out on Macedonia's website. So the book of Ruth, during the time of the judges, Elimelech and his family leave Bethlehem, Judah, to go to the land of Moab during a time of famine. And his sons end up marrying Moabite women. And both Elimelech and his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they all die. So now you have Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws, and all three of them are widows. And now Naomi's going to go back to Jerusalem, going to go back to Bethlehem, Judah. And she's going to go home. The other daughter-in-law decides to stay. Ruth commits to going with her. The beautiful testimony that Ruth had in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16. "Entreat me not to leave you or to return from following thee. For where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God will be my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. Lord, do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." This amazing commitment of Ruth to her mother-in-law. So they come back. Naomi returns with Ruth the Moabitess. Ruth goes out to glean in the field, and by God's amazing providence that many times we don't even know when and where and how, God's amazing providence is working. Her hap was to light upon the field of Boaz. And I also love how the Lord is guiding us in our providence when we don't know it. I mean, Ruth didn't know. Ruth didn't know what she was doing. She didn't realize that Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. She didn't know who he was. She was just picking a field. And it may have been the first one, for all I know. But regardless, in God's providence, he guides her to the exact right field of the man that happens to be the kinsman redeemer. He shows her kindness. He shows her protection. He commands handfuls of purpose to be left for her. And then she gets back home and Naomi says, "How was the gleaning today?" And she said, "Well, actually, it was really great. There was this man that showed me a lot of kindness that I wasn't expecting. And oh, by the way, this man's name is Boaz." And Naomi was like, "Wow, this is amazing. Do you understand how big of a deal this is? This man is our kinsman redeemer. This man is a near kin." Now, he's not the closest kin. It's possible that Elimelech's brother, his direct brother, was still living, because there's a kinsman that was closer. The implication would be that it was probably Elimelech's physical brother from the pattern of the law. So don't necessarily know Boaz's relationship. He could have been a first cousin. He could have been a son of a close relative, but there was someone that had priority, most likely the brother of Elimelech. But Ruth didn't know. Ruth didn't know what a big deal this was. And she's just doing her duty to work hard. And God in his providence puts her in the exact right field. He lays it on Boaz's heart to be kind and gracious. But then when she gets home, Naomi realizes what a big deal it is. Which, by the way, that's such a beautiful picture of how many times other people can see God's providence moving in our life, even if we don't see it and we don't understand it. Naomi understood what a big deal this was, but Ruth didn't know. She was just going about her daily business and she didn't know. So then Naomi says, which may not have been the best advice, but the Lord ended up blessing it. She said that you need to go and see Boaz down at the threshing floor. And Ruth essentially proposes to Boaz. Ruth asks Boaz to marry her. This is in Ruth chapter 3 and in verse 9. She goes down to the threshing floor. Boaz goes, falls asleep. There's a woman at his feet when he wakes up. Verse 9, and he says, "Who art thou? I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." So Ruth, thankfully, Boaz is a godly man. There's not any impropriety in this. But Ruth goes down to the threshing floor and essentially proposes to Boaz, "Will you marry me? Will you redeem me? Will you raise up seed and by implication marry me as well?" And then I think Boaz understood. I think that's another beautiful picture too, is Boaz knew who Ruth was, but Ruth didn't know who Boaz was. Boaz knew her first, which is a beautiful picture of Christ as our kinsman redeemer, right? We love him because he first loved us. He knew us first, even before we knew him. But then he knew the relationship and he would be willing to do the work. But now Ruth has requested this. So then Boaz says to Ruth, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the people of the city know thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I." And we're not told the exact relationship of this kinsman, but again, I think the implication would be this is probably Elimelech's brother, or at least Elimelech's nephew. And it's possible that Boaz, who knows, was the brother of this other man, and maybe he was the second oldest of the brothers of what would have been Naomi's brother-in-law, and these could have possibly been Naomi's nephews, maybe. But regardless, there's a kinsman nearer than I, but he tells Ruth in verse 13, "Tarry this night, and it will be in the morning. First thing in the morning, I'm going to the gate. And if he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman well." So it'd be great if I got to do this part, but it's his right, first of all. And if he does it, that's great. That's a blessing to you. But if he will not do it, then will I do the part of a kinsman, as the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. And then she goes back, tells Naomi what the plan is, and Naomi has confidence in the integrity of Boaz to see this through. "Sit still," verse 18, "my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day." So this is a near kinsman that had a bride that needed to be redeemed, and he would not be in rest until he finished the work that day. And that certainly points us toward Jesus Christ, doesn't it? If he came to redeem his bride through his own blood, and he finished the work of that kinsman redeemer. He finished it on the cross, didn't he? He didn't make it possible. He didn't give the right for those that are spiritual Ruths to accept him. No, he finished the work and he will not be in rest. And then Christ went and sat down and rested on the right hand of God. He will not be in rest until he finished the work. And Christ is our spiritual Boaz, kinsman redeemer. He finished the work of salvation on the cross. Amen. So then Boaz, first thing the next morning, he goes up to the gate and he calls all of the elders of the city and goes to the right location with witnesses. So this transaction is verified. And it says that there is a parcel of land that was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants, but before the elders of my people. If thou will not redeem it, if thou will redeem it, then good, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. So Boaz was second in line of the right of redemption. Now he only speaks, first of all, about the land. So the near kinsman says, okay, I'll be happy to get more land. I'm happy to have more land for my crops. But Boaz says, but also, if you get the land, you also have to raise up seed of Ruth the Moabitess. And she was a foreigner. This is during the time of the judges, and the Moabites had afflicted God's people many times. No doubt Ruth had to deal with some racism in Bethlehem, Judah. And he said, no, I'm not going to marry a Moabitess. I'm not going to marry a foreigner who's of our enemies. And the kinsman said, okay, I wanted the land, but I can't redeem her. Blessed I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Verse 7. Now this was the matter in former time concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. So that was a sign of this covenant, and the man who you saw walking around town without a shoe, that was evidence that he did not perform his duty as a kinsman. Buy it, therefore, for thee, and he took off his shoe. And then Boaz says, okay, there's not going to be any renegotiating this deal. You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and all that was Mahlon's at the hand of Naomi. Wherefore, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon this inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off among his brethren and from the gate of his place. And you are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders, they said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the house that has come unto thee like Rachel and Leah and the two which did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. And it's also interesting, we talked about of the raising up seed. You know, they said, let your house be like Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord gave unto thee of this woman. And it seems interesting that they would say, I hope his house grows like Phares. Well, of all the people, why would you pick Phares? Because his seed was raised up by the equivalent of a kinsman redeemer. And then Boaz ends up marrying Ruth, and they have a child. This beautiful story here. And Boaz beget Obed, and Obed beget Jesse, and Jesse beget David. And then Ruth ends up being the great-grandmother of King David. Right? Beautiful, beautiful picture of God's providence and grace and mercy. But Boaz takes upon himself the role of a kinsman redeemer, which, by the way, I love the language there in verse 11. Do thou worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. Jesus was prophesied to come from Bethlehem Ephratah. And lo and behold, David, his great-grandmother was Ruth. Jesus came from the seed of David, who came from Ruth, who was from Bethlehem Ephratah, which is also one of the prophecies of where Jesus was born. So we have that messianic prophecy laced here in the book of Ruth as well. So Boaz performs the role of a kinsman redeemer. He raises up seed to Ruth, and they have a great family who the Messiah ends up coming through that. Now, the spiritual picture is obviously we're strangers. We are spiritual Moabitesses, looked down upon by the world and sinful in our nature. But God saw fit to bless us in the midst of that and choose to love us anyway. Christ is our spiritual Boaz, saw fit to love us in spite of ourselves, and he came and he paid the penalty, and he paid what was necessary to redeem us, and he finished the work that day. He would not be in rest until he finished the work. But what was the price of our redemption? The price of our redemption was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is all throughout the New Testament. But I just want to read one verse for you, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. What was the price that our kinsman redeemer paid, that his bride would be bought and paid for, brought into his home, one flesh with him, to bring forth a seed that would be, as he told Abraham, as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea? That seed came forth from the right of the kinsman redeemer raising up that seed, and Christ paid the penalty. What was the price of our redemption? The price of our redemption was our kinsman redeemer shedding his precious blood to redeem us from all sin. Praise God for our spiritual Boaz. Amen. Praise God for our spiritual Boaz and Jesus Christ being willing to play the part of the kinsman redeemer and save us from our sins. We sure are happy for the good news of the gospel this morning. Amen. And to be able to see Jesus Christ as our kinsman redeemer through the Old Testament law. Till we have a chance to discuss these topics with you again, we pray the Lord will richly bless you and allow you to feel the manifest presence and love of the Lord Jesus Christ today. God bless you.